Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The CEO of Anthropic, an artificial intelligence research company, predicts AI will wipe out half of all entry-level jobs in the next 5 years and will spike unemployment, the unemployment rate, to somewhere between 10% at the low and 20% at the upper boundary. It may be starting to happen. The jobs market is weakening now, and that is not a controversial statement to make. For proof, continuous jobless claims are now at 1.91 million people. Continuing claims. That is the highest level since 2021. Initial claims came in at 240,000 last week versus 226,000 the previous week. And the ADP employment report shows that just 37,000 people were hired on a net basis in the entire month of May in this country. That was the lowest print in over 2 years. Is the evidence of an economic showdown or AI starting to replace jobs? Is that what's happening here? Is it evidence of an economic slowdown or AI? My view is that for now, it is more of the former. Not to be an alarmist or conspiracy theorist, but this is all part of government's long-term plan to gain plenary control over the economy. The goal is to have the once great U.S. Democratic Republic to become an oligarchy, where the wealth and power are all concentrated into the hands of a very few elites. This dystopia should include a central bank digital currency, which facilitates the Fed's control over inflation and enables all taxation to be very easily found, identified, and collected. It will also enable them to impose negative nominal rates without resistance. Concomitant with this grand plan will be the adoption of universal basic income. As robots and software replace an increasing number of jobs, there will be unrelenting pressure from the government to provide a stipend for the erstwhile gainfully employed middle class. The result is a dumbed-down population that is nearly fully reliant upon the government to meet their basic need. This is sadly going to be the culmination of an inexorable trend that's been going on for many decades, where individual freedoms are usurped and the government maintains and grabs more and more power. Turning to the real estate market, there are two recent data points that underscore the fragility of this bubble. Pending home sales decreased 6.3% in April, according to the National Association of Realtors. All four U.S. regions experienced month-over-month losses in transactions. And according to Redfin, there are now nearly 500,000 more home sellers than there are home buyers. That equates to 34% more sellers than buyers, and that is the most ever on record. The ISM services sector showed that the services part of the economy, the largest part of the economy, has slipped into contraction for the first time in nearly a year, falling from 51.6 in April to 49.9 in May. New orders absolutely plunged from 52.3 in the prior month to 46.4. Okay, now switching quickly to the tariff tarantella dance. One day tariffs are imposed, and then the next day the tariffs are taken down. One day a court says Trump doesn't have the authority to impose tariffs. Then the next day another court says, yeah, he can. He has that authority. One day Trump has a beautiful call with China, and the next day China breaks the deal. What deal exactly was there in the first place between the U.S. and China to be broken? Or what part of the agreement was broken? We don't know. We do know that last Friday, the U.S. announced plans for wider tech sanctions to be placed on China. But most likely, there will be another big, beautiful phone call that happens very soon. And those tech sanctions will never be put on or be vastly attenuated. The trade yin-yang has many in the media now saying the president folds like a taco. It is an acronym for Trump always chickens out. Now, Wall Street also believes that anything Trump says about tariffs is a bluff. Of course, rightly so, Trump absolutely hates having his mettle tested and for sure now will be making several immutable declarations on trade and tariffs to show that he is serious about restoring America's middle class. So he's going to make some trade, put some trade sanctions, some tariffs on something, and he'll stick to it. I predict that's going to happen very soon. However, Trump will stop short of that goal of rebuilding America's middle class because the level of tariffs, which are necessary to bring foreign manufacturing back to domestic shores, would cause complete chaos in markets and lead to another credit crisis. The president has already learned this lesson very quickly, and he learned it the hard way. And now he will only push the tariff cause just far enough to be able to claim some marginal success, some marginal deals. But for the most part, the status quo is what's going to be kept. The big takeaway here, what investors need to know, is that tariffs are taxes, of course, and they are still going to end up being about 6 times higher than they were last year on all international trade. Higher prices are going to happen. They're happening now and are being piled on top of a consumer who has already been severely battered by the level of prices, the level of inflation that has occurred since COVID. However, on the other side of the coin, you know, at the same time, taxes are probably going lower on tips, overtime, and some other ancillary items. Also, debt and deficits are going much higher, which is a short-term stimulus for the economy. Then again, on the other side of the coin, the labor force growth is shrinking, which is a growth depressant due to government firings and hiring freezes, along with the shuttering of most U.S. immigration. So when you put all of this together, all this forebodes is slower GDP growth, but not in a recession and not in a credit crisis. And then again, at the same time, the stock market is not just fully valued, it is actually at the highest valuation in relation to the underlying economy in history. Here is what David Rosenberg has to say about the current stock bubble. The household sector of America has never had $50 trillion of exposure to equities on their balance sheet. Nobody this cycle has rebalanced. Diversification became a dirty 15-letter word. Buy every dip has become the mantra. Take a look at what the equity ownership was going into the tech wreck. Take a look at what ownership was of stocks. Barely more than $10 trillion. Going into the financial crisis, it was $15 trillion. Now we are at $50 trillion invested in the stock market. 71% of household financial assets are in stocks. Now I will add, the buy and hold edict from U.S. investors that began in 2000 was caused by the trigger-happy Fed and Treasury, whose borrowing and printing bailouts inculcated the idea that the government will never permit a recession or bear market ever again. Okay, quickly back to Rosie. The median boomer is now age 70. It's not 45, 50, or 55. And it was going as it was going into the great financial crisis, 2008. Over 60% of the boomer's portfolio in the equity market right now. Over 60% of boomer's portfolio is in the equity market. It should be more like 30 or 40. What he had to say is very crucial for the future of markets. Here's my final thoughts for this week. There are two major points to be made. One, the U.S.'s persistent problem with inflation and its newfound problem with insolvency could and should prevent the government from trying to bail out the economy and markets without dire consequences to the price and yield of bonds. And two, if the spike in bond yields prevents the government from stemming the slide in stocks, those boomers will be much more inclined to hit the sell button and go into cash to preserve their retirement, whatever is left of it. Think carefully about what will happen to markets when the U.S.'s massive $37 trillion debt, which should reach $60 trillion in the next decade, combines with an implosion in the bond market. Those are my words. The positioning for the Penta Portfolio Strategies Inflation Deflation Economic Cycle Portfolio is currently 21% long stocks, but with hedges that include gold and a large allocation to the short end of the Treasury yield curve. We also own some international exposure in Australia and India. We remain underexposed to equities, but we are not net short. We are net long 21%. But we are in the sectors that are best positioned to profit from the current instability. And we remain myopically focused on the signal for when the bond market starts to unravel, so we can also capitalize on the inevitable grand reconciliation of asset prices.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.